I'm Jonathan Westerling, welcoming you to this special broadcast from Radio Sausalito in proud collaboration with the Sausalito Historical Society and the Sausalito Women's Club. Almost exactly 75 years ago tonight, millions of listeners across the nation tuned into a radio broadcast originating from the stage at the Sausalito Women's Club. The production featured music, acting, and speeches celebrating the opening of the Marine Ship shipbuilding plant in town and its contribution to the war effort. This plant, carved out of the Sausalito hillside, employed 20,000 men and women at its peak and produced a new ship every 33 days. Tonight, exclusively here on Radio Sausalito, we will revisit the historic coast-to-coast broadcast through a modern dramatization written just for this occasion and performed in front of a live audience on the very same stage that hosted the nationwide broadcast years ago. You'll hear actors portraying the politicians, businessmen, and townspeople who all played a role in an event that truly changed the shape of our town. Tonight's radio play was recorded May 12, 2017, and directed by Roberta Malloy. We note that these recordings have been edited slightly from the original due to the restrictions of radio and to fit the time allotted. While you're listening, you can check out the Radio Sausalito website, where we have posted photos along with a complete list of the cast and crew. And now, without further ado, we send you to the stage of the Sausalito Women's Club for tonight's feature presentation entitled, Turn Your Radio On.
From the stage of the Sausalito Women's Club in Northern California, set among the green hills overlooking San Francisco, we bring you this special radio program. In response to the call to war, acknowledging the great new arsenal of democracy, we salute the Sausalito Marine Ship Building Division of the W.A. Bechtel Company.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on and listen to the music in the air.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Turn the lights down low
and listen to the local radio,
KSWC.
KSWC.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on and listen to the music in the air.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Turn the lights down low.
Turn the lights down low and listen to your local radio,
KSWC.
KSWC.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jordan Martinelli, and I'll be your toastmaster tonight. Among the participants in tonight's radio show are men and women who work down at the shipyard, many of whom are also entertainers. First, here is Mrs. Mary Spring, president of the Sausalito Women's Club, to help me with the radio show duties. Hi, and thank you, Mary.
I'm happy to... That's Mrs. Carl Spring. I am happy to be here, representing the Sausalito Women's Club and acknowledging the contribution our ladies and the community are making to the Allied war machine.
Our first special guest is with us this evening on behalf of the Sausalito Chamber of Commerce. Please welcome Mr. Earl Lee Kelly, Vice President of the Bank of America and former State Director of Public Works.
My friends and neighbors of Marin County, and our friends of the vast unseen radio audience. Sausalito is indeed proud to have been selected as the site for one of the much-needed shipyards. We are proud to be the shipyard that has set the record for turning out a ship as quickly as 33 days. This shipyard on Richardson's Bay gives Marin County its largest payroll and an active participation in the war effort. In 1942, the United States Maritime Commission asked the W.K. Bechtel Company, one of the nation's largest construction and engineering firms, to construct a shipyard and build ships. Mr. Kenneth K. Bechtel, Vice President, a longtime resident of Marin County, answered the call. He is the gentleman directly responsible for choosing Sausalito and placing Marin County's greatest industry here. We are pleased he's taken time from his busy schedule to be here tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, the man we salute this evening, Vice President in charge of the Marin Shipbuilding Division, Kenneth K. Bechtel.
Thank you, thank you. Building ships for victory is succeeding because the spirit of American people demand that it succeed. The ships that are being launched from these shores are bringing supplies throughout the Pacific, strategic to our winning the war. Our company is grateful for the opportunity to serve our country. We are building ships for victory, not profit. To the men and women of the Marine ship, I say tonight, you have done well. And because of you, we are doing our best. When peace returns and ships for war are no longer needed, we will be happy to build for peace. Until then, we are dedicated to building ships for victory.
Mr. Bechtel practices what he preaches when he says he's building ships for victory and not for profit. The other day I heard that when he found out the cafeteria was making money, he lowered the prices.
Well, I did say we were not going to make profit.
We Sausalitans have seen the transformation of a mud flat into one of the greatest and most modern shipbuilding plants in the country through the magic of dynamite, steam shovels, tractors, and other equipment.
Bert! Mom! Come and see this letter. It says we have to be out of our house and moved so they can blast our Pine Hill to make room for the new shipyard.
Oh, no. How are we going to do that?
Oh, gosh, this is a shock. Don't worry, Mom. Don't worry, honey. I'll take care of everything.
Well, it was a major change to the community. We are grateful for their sacrifices, and this was one that all the residents of Pine Hill can be proud of.
My name is Carolyn Rose Hardy. After my husband Bert and I got married, we bought a little house on Pine Hill at the north central part of Sausalito, right along the waterfront and the salt marsh beside the railroad tracks. It was real close to Nevada Street. Bert's mom came to live with us. Pine Hill was a... She did. Pine Hill was a real pretty place to live, and the neighbors were swell. We even had our own rail station. There were about 30 houses, all lived in by plain working people like us, with a few what you might call doing well businessmen. Our little Dougie was born in November of 1941.
We did okay, though. We got $3,000. That's $700 more than we paid for the place.
It was a shame to lose our old neighborhood, but it couldn't be helped. The Majoria brothers paid the government $100 each for some of the empty houses and moved them. Some of the houses went to lots that they owned on Spring Street. All this was done in 9 days. I guess the good news is that the pay at the shipyards is really great, and Bert went to work there. That was before he joined the Navy. And then when he left, I was pretty lonely, and that was when Mom said,
maybe you could get a job at the shipyards. It'd be better than moping around. I heard that girls right out of high school are getting nearly $1 an hour. Go talk to the recruiter down at the old garage on Turney Street, where they're hiring people.
So I went and got interviewed by the recruiter.
All right, before we fill out any paperwork, tell me, what can you do?
Well, I took touch typing and Greg shorthand at Tam High. I can type 125 words a minute on a Remington noiseless.
Well...
And I'm even faster at shorthand.
Well, fine and good for you, but how many mistakes do you make? You'll be typing all sorts of things with columns of numbers and specifications. All that has to be completely accurate. So, we'll give you a typing test.
Well, I told him I'm very accurate. I got 100 on that typing test, and I was hired that day. I'm proud to be bringing in good money for our family and to be doing what I can for the war effort. And everyone I meet at Marine Ship feels the same way that I do.
Thank you, Mrs. Hardy. It is good you were able to relocate so successfully. And now I will explain to the audience
We have another woman here that we would like to hear from. Come on up here, dear. Tell us about yourself.
Sure. Do I stand here? Okay.
My name is Lois Ledke. Back in 1937, out in Missouri, Dad lost the farm to foreclosure. We were dirt poor, and there was no work. So Dad and Mom packed us five kids, Mom's cook pots, our bedding, and basically the clothes on our backs, into Dad's old 1928 Model A. And we headed west to California. Dad and me, and my brother Jimmy, who was 15, we got jobs in the Salinas Valley, picking strawberries. We lived in a tent at first in a migrant workers' camp, which was okay because the weather was real good. And that camp had a cookhouse where Mom could fry up a swell breakfast in the morning of Spam and eggs. I can taste it right now. I remember one special day when Dad was reading a week-old newspaper that he picked up somewhere. Might have been the cookhouse.
Look here. This Bechtel company is looking to hire workers for a new war emergency shipyard they're building up in Marin County. They call it Marin Ship. You know, I figure a guy could make pretty good money there. You and Jimmy could work there too, Lois.
Yeah.
Says here, they're hiring men and women.
Let me see the paper, Dad. Now hiring Marin Ship. It says here that steel plate shippers can make up to $1 an hour or more after a few months' experience. Why, I'd have to work more than a day here in Salinas to earn that kind of money. Dad, let's go! We'll be living on Easy Street.
I'll get the car.
Oh! We packed up the car real quick because there wasn't much to put in it anyway. Dad kept driving up north, north, north until we crossed that Golden Gate Bridge. I've never seen anything like it. It was so pretty. That same day, Dad and me and Jimmy went to the hiring hall for the Marin Ship shipyards. With the war on, there's a real shortage of skilled men workers. So even for a man of my daddy's age, 45 years of age, he isn't too old for Bechtel, and the company trains him up to do the work they need.
I got a great job driving a gantry crane. I pick up big steel assemblies that were sent to the yards on railroad cars, and I move them down to the shipways where the workers and welders need them.
I got that job as a steel plate chipper. I learned how to do it at the company school. And the first day after I graduated from that school, I met Penny.
This will be your locker. And these are your tools, helmet and goggles. Take good care of them. Particularly well-maintained and cared-for tools are what keep accidents from happening. Safety first. Your first shift is 8 hours a day, 6 days a week. You get paid time and a half for that 6 day overtime. Now off you go. If you have any problems, come to me because I'm in charge of women's affairs. You can call me Penny.
Thanks, Penny. So I'm walking off through the yard to join my shift. Hey, you guys looking for a knuckle sandwich or something? Because I'm the one to give it to you. Knock it off. Well, that did it. Between that and because of my work, I earned the respect of the men. I'm real proud of the work I do. I'm quick and neat, and my supervisor never has to call me back to fix anything. He says I'm the best chipper on his crew.
Good for you. Now tell me, what exactly does a steel plate chipper do?
Well, the ships are made from huge steel plates, and they're cut to shape and size by the burners. Then the welders weld them together to form the ship inside and out. The seams are kind of rough, so we chippers go at them with real heavy-duty pneumatic chipping hammers, that's hard to say, to chisel off the crusty slag from the finished weld. Then the grinders can make the seams real nice and smooth for painting. Good thing I have muscles in my arms and backs from the strawberry and vegetable fields, because those hammers weigh near 10 pounds or more, and they do give my arms a good shake.
Well, you take care there, young lady, and thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
You are a chipper, chipper. And now I have something to say about our Women's Club Allied War efforts.
Sure, go ahead, Harry Spring.
That's Mrs. Spring. Would Mrs. Sutton Wood come up here, please? Mrs. Wood is a past president of the club and is to be admired as a holder of the traditions. Mrs. Wood, tell us about Bundles for Britain.
As the war in Europe progressed and the U.S. refused the pleas from Britain to be directly involved, a large number of charities appeared across the U.S. to aid Britain in other ways. Coming from England, I was approached by the British consulate to help, and I found out about Bundles for Britain. It was started in 1940 by a wealthy patron, Mrs. Ernest Latham, as a knitting circle in a storefront in New York City. Can't you just imagine all these ladies knitting socks, gloves, hats, sweaters, and scarves, and then shipping them to Britain? So I sat at a tea table after a business meeting at the clubhouse and signed up 20 volunteers. Then we held a huge garden party with champagne and a variety show, with everyone bringing and buying white elephants, not real elephants, you know, just items that they could donate. We sent $700 to Bundles for Britain.
Don't forget to tell them about the salvage shop, dear.
Oh, yes. We had some items that did not sell, along with I. Magnin's donated summer sale leftovers. So we decided to open a little shop on Princess Street for a running rummage sale. Today, we call it the Allied War Relief Salvage Shop. We're very proud of the work we do and the donations we have sent to Britain. Thank you, Mrs. Spring, for helping us to package the item.
It's the least I can do, and everyone else should do the same. Bundles for Britain is a very worthwhile effort, and we are very proud of the work all the ladies do at the salvage shop. And now I'd like everyone to know about some other things our women's club is doing and how you can help. Besides buying war bonds, you can help on two Fridays a month when we sponsor the Servicemen's Club. And, of course, you can donate and work at the salvage shop.
Hi. Can I say something?
Oh, please do, dear.
Well, I shop there all the time. I get some very nice things, work clothes for me and two for Jim. And, well, you know, my husband Jim and I both work at Marinship. He's an electrical engineer. I started as a secretary, but before you knew it, I was a bicycle messenger. And there I was, a woman, and I was 53 years old, and it was a big deal to be the first woman going all around the yard.
Hey, Viv, we never did talk about that. What was it like being the first woman in the yard around all those men?
Well, you can imagine. When I first started delivering the mail, I was among those smarty fellas, you know, the ones who were working in the yard. And, well,
They resented every woman that had a job. I think a lot of them thought it was a man's job to support the family, and women shouldn't work unless they had to or they were starving. So anyway, one day, I had this big load of mail, and I'm on my way out to the main building where Mr. Bechtel has his office when this guy comes up on a big, tall heister. He's sitting up there, 9, 10 feet off the ground. I'm pedaling my bicycle, and he comes up even with me on this big, huge machine, and he puts his head back, coughs, and spits a big glob right on my cheek. Ew. Well, I was so mad. I followed him back to the plate shop, and I grabbed that letter of the old heister. And you know what? He did. He fired that guy the very next day. And a couple of days later, some jerk truck driver crowds me on the railroad track. So I fall off my bike and the mail scatters all over the place. I got him fired too. So now the men say, better not monkey with Jim Cochran's wife.
You're listening to a special presentation here on Radio Sausalito. Tonight, we feature a dramatization of a nationwide broadcast from Sausalito 75 years ago that commemorated the opening of the Marin Ship Shipbuilding Plant here in Sausalito. In a moment, we'll hear from an African-American worker who fought for equal union representation at the plant, as well as some nautical one-liners from Charlie the Comedian. That's all right after this.
Tell your friends about the radio station that features the best of the old. And the new. This is Radio Sausalito.
Did you know that Radio Sausalito has broadcast literally thousands of public service announcements, or PSAs, over the years as a favor to fellow nonprofits in Southern Marin? It is one of many things we do to enhance our community. If you represent a nonprofit organization and want to have us broadcast a PSA for an upcoming event in Marin, we'd like to help get the word out. The process is simple. Just send an email to us at psa@radiosausalito.org with details about the event and your organization at least 14 days prior to the date of the event. Radio Sausalito will pick some appropriate music, produce and air qualifying PSAs at no charge. That email address again to send information for public service announcements is psa@radiosausalito.org.
We continue now with our live radio play recorded last month at the Sausalito Women's Club here on Radio Sausalito.
My name is Patricia Mahoney. I figured it's going to be a lonely war. I sure didn't want to sit around waiting for the boys from high school to come home, so I got a job at a poultry farm in Petaluma. But the pay wasn't good, and I hated being around all those chickens. I was sneezing all the time. I read about the shipbuilding going on in Sausalito. The paper said even unskilled men and women should apply for work. I'm kind of small, just 4'9", and I only weigh about 100 pounds. So I was worried that they'd think I was too small and probably not strong enough. But I wasn't in very long before the...
I need painters. Who here belongs to the painters' union?
Well, my daddy does.
Well, I guess that'll have to do, but... But you're the right size, all right. And I need a painter who can fit into tight inside spaces. My men are too big. You want the job?
I'll take it. Heck, anything's better than chicken feathers all day. But you know what? I really hated painting inside small spaces, and there are lots of them. We girls have to crawl into openings that are only about an inch wider than our shoulders, and you can only spend 5 minutes inside there without coming out or passing out. It's slow work with the crawling in and out every few minutes. It made me and the other girls sick to be breathing fumes from that red lead paint. The whole time I'd feel drunk after about 30 seconds. It made me so nauseated that a lot of the time that I was painting, I had no appetite for lunch. And then I got lead poisoning. Well, when the first aid nurse heard about that, I was assigned outside work only. What a relief. Not all of us got the lead poisoning. I was just unlucky. But maybe I'm not so unlucky after all. It's a lot better working outside. I'm real grateful to those gals who helped me. And I hope they hear me say this on this here radio show.
A major concern of wartime factory production is preventing accidents. Here is Dan Johnston, safety supervisor.
We've done a really good job of reducing the accidents in the yard. We have 4 first aid stations. As soon as someone needs help from a doctor or a nurse, there's no waiting, no paperwork. Early on, after 3 bad accidents, the heisters were redesigned with big steel guards around each tire for safety and for tire conservation. And they changed the operator's cab so the driver could see all around a lot better. The next thing you know, you got this automatic... That invention won a war bond.
That's pretty clever. Thanks, Dan. Hey, Charlie, come on up here. I understand you're very popular at the noon entertainments.
Well, some people say I should be on the stage. The next one out of town. Hey, want to hear some nautical puns? Yeah, was that I or I? I used to have a fear of boats, but that ship has sailed. Good thing we're making ships of steel. Making them out of stone would be a hard ship. Then there was a guy arrested for throwing bombs from a boat, but they dropped the charges. Did you hear the admiral decided against buying a new hat? Yeah, he was afraid of capsizing. They get better. I'm not one for buoyancy, but whatever floats your boat. Big sale on rowing paddles in my local shop. It's quite an ordeal. Big news! Sailor eating alphabet soup found the 7 C's. Okay, forget that one. Shipload of blue paint crashed into a shipload of red paint. The crew was marooned. Yeah. Why didn't the sailors play cards? Because the captain was standing on the deck. I can't think of any more boat puns.
Oh.
Canoe? Well, you know what they say. Old sailors never die. They just get a little dinghy.
Thank you, Charlie. Good luck on your career. I understand unions play a big part in the workers' lives, and it isn't always smooth going. With thousands of workers coming together from all over the country, cultural differences aggravated by union discrimination leads to tensions between management, the unions, and the workers.
Hey, Joe, my friend, what are we going to do about these damn unions? You know, we keep paying dues to these unions, and they don't give us any representation. They want us to join an auxiliary union, which doesn't do anything for us. We don't get any pay raises when we get promotions. We don't get any changes in our jobs. Nothing happens. What do you think we ought to talk to management about that?
You know, I've been talking to them. I told them by preventing Negroes from becoming regular union members, the union is closing off promotional opportunities. And shipworker relationships are tense.
What else did they say? Anything else?
Well, I said to them, look, you depend on these people to build these tankers. You know as well as I that this dispute is coming to a boil. We're caught between the old practice of clearance and now the new one of an auxiliary union, not a real union. We're not regular union members. So I said, let's settle these things before they boil over.
Well, you know, our folks are saying they're not going to be paid dues to a union that doesn't give them equal representation.
Yes.
They said if withholding the dues doesn't stop it, then we're going to sue.
Well, you know, I want us to be careful about that. We're going to need expert representation, and we're going to have to do a better review of what's going on with us. It's very important at this point that we have a clear perspective on what we want to do. We're very important to the war effort. Are we going to say to the world that our concerns are more important?
Here's what it looks like. We all left our families, moved out here together, expecting to be a part of this great war effort. And we find that we can't get equal representation from the union. I think we ought to rethink this matter again.
No one at the Marin ship is better known or better liked than Joe James. Joe is not only a member of the Select Flying Squadron, the ex-Stinger welders who are sent around the yard wherever they are most needed. He is also a union activist and a professional singer who is known in musical circles from coast to coast and abroad. Let's welcome Joe James. Good evening, Joe. Thanks for being with us. You are a busy man, Joe.
Yes, they keep me busy.
Just last Sunday, when the USS Tamalpais was launched, your performance was recorded. Let's listen to a little bit from that recording. There's no end to your talents, Joe. Let's talk about this article, the article in the Mariner. I take it you are trying to calm things down and extend an olive branch.
Yes. Unfortunately, the union is keeping Negroes from having full representation and advancement. That's all right. And Marinship is going along with that. I'm afraid the situation could boil over.
In the article, you say, here we are, workers from many far-flung sections of the country and world,
representing every conceivable political and social philosophy, working together for the realization of a common goal. All of us want to win the war. We want to win the peace. Let's turn our hatred, instead of against each other, against the forces of fascism, which would enslave us all. We can achieve freedom through democracy, but democracy must be extended to all. We the people, black, white, and all shades in between, can only achieve our full potential by releasing ourselves from the prejudices and suspicions that now encumber us. Words to remember.
Let us now hear from a woman who has earned quite a title of distinction. Miss Kay Dawes, tell us about it.
I started at Marin Ship as one of the first women welders, then a welder leaderman, and now I'm a welder foreman. I am the first and only woman to hold that position in the United States.
That is quite an accomplishment. What do you have to tell us that's interesting?
I have a team of about 20 welders, mostly women. When we have to weld overhead places, it is a different technique so it doesn't drip. It is much shorter strokes with a back and forward motion. One of my gals has come up with a unique way of timing the welding process. She sings, "Don't know why, there's no sun up in the sky, stormy welder."
Don't you mean stormy weather, dear?
No, frankly, what she actually sings is "Sexy Welder." I was in the all-woman launching team of the USS Coalinga Hills. That was fun. I gave the commands to the crew burning the metals holding the hull in place. When it was time to burn them off one at a time, I yelled, "Burn one!" Then burn two, and so forth. A flare went up each time. By the eighth one, the ship was released. The crowd cheered. It's an adventure and a lot of fun, too, to work at Marin Ship. It sure is more exciting than buying dresses for a department store.
Let's meet someone who might want to go into the fashion industry after the war.
Thank you, Mr. Martinelli. My full name is Prudence Penny. You can call me Penny. Everyone does.
Well, great. I'll call you Penny. What's so important about your job?
It's all about safety. It is my job to look after the women's affairs. I have to make sure the women are following the dress code. Clothing must be clean, proper fitting, cuffless jeans, coveralls or bib overhauls. Sweaters are not permitted unless hidden under a jacket.
Yeah, we don't want to distract the men's attention.
Well, we certainly don't want sweaters to get caught or ignited, and gloves shall not be worn near moving machinery. You could lose a finger. No long fingernails, no nail polish, and most of all, no makeup.
Yeah. We don't want to distract the men, do we? Like we all look so attractive in these clothes. You know, we just don't feel very pretty.
The other thing is the hair must be covered. Now, Lois...
I'm coming, Penny.
...is going to demonstrate to our radio audience how to place on a bandana. The first thing you do is you take a scarf and you fold it into a triangle. Put the tip of the scarf onto your forehead with the fold at the back of your neck. Bring the sides up over your ears. Tie it to hold the triangle straight.
I'm a little slow, Penny. Hang on.
That's sure. Okay. We've got time.
Okay. It sure helps to have someone like Kay.
Okay.
Like a mirror.
Then put that triangle piece over the tie and tie it again. And it's very nice.
Thank you.
The bandana is now a fashion statement.
You're listening to a special broadcast over Radio Sausalito reenacting a 1942 radio show about the opening of the Marin Ship plant in Sausalito. Following this short break, our radio actors will connect with a ship in combat and will be joined by a very special guest.
Tell your friends about the radio station that features the best of the old. And the new. This is Radio Sausalito.
And now we go again to the stage of the Sausalito Women's Club for the final act of our live radio play called Turn Your Radio On.
You know, I've been thinking, Mr. Martinelli, once these ships have been launched, it would be fascinating to know the sort of action they encounter.
Yes, Mary, or Mrs. Spring. It's interesting that you should say that, because we are attempting right now to establish contact with the USS Kanhava via Trans-Pacific ship-to-shore transmission. If successful, we will interview war correspondent Edgar Rice Burroughs, author of the Tarzan books, and the lieutenant commander of the Kanhava, Henry Heald.
What? What did he say?
Hey, we got him. We got him on the shore.
You got him? You got him? Yeah, Mrs. Heald, are you in the audience? Would you please come up to the stage, Mrs. Heald? Please come up to the stage. Would you come here to the microphone, please? Mrs. Heald, it is your son, Lieutenant Commander Henry Heald, we are trying to contact. Step right up to the microphone here.
Son? Son?
Commander, are you there?
Son?
Mother?
Oh, yes! Yes, yes, it's me, Henry!
Mother, it's good to hear your voice.
Are you okay? I hadn't heard.
I'm okay.
I understand correspondent Edgar Rice Burroughs is there with you, Henry.
I'm here. This is correspondent Burroughs. I'm aboard the USS Kanhava.
Tell us what it's been like for you.
Well, this is not a combat ship, but we are well-armed and equipped with the latest scientific instruments for our own protection. With our enormous, inflammable, and explosive cargo, however, augmented by a considerable store of ammunition, we appear to the innocent bystander, like myself, to be an accident going somewhere to happen.
Have you seen any action?
Right after we were changing our station on Monday, a Japanese suicide plane came over us. Ships all around us fired, trying to bring it down, but it managed to drop a bomb on one of the bigger ships and set it on fire. Then, as it was attempting a crash dive into another ship, it was shot down at the last second.
You are all very courageous, Lieutenant Commander. How are you doing? Have you seen anything like this before?
I'm not getting a lot of sleep. It was reminiscent of the action we experienced on the USS Laramie when we took a hit from a German U-boat in the Atlantic. We knew we were a fire hazard, so when we made it to port, we were all very relieved. The worst of that action was we lost 4 young sailors. There were even more casualties this time, but no one from our ship was lost.
Gentlemen, we are working hard stateside to support your efforts and praying for your safety.
To think I enlisted in the Navy because I thought it was the safest branch of the military. Burroughs here has his little distractions.
Hey,
he thinks he is Tarzan.
Now, wait a minute.
He has all these sexy pinups.
I do not.
Jane.
Hey, cut it out. This is being broadcast.
I can't say that on the radio?
I think we're losing our signal. If you can still hear us, thank you, Lieutenant Commander and Correspondent Burroughs.
God bless you, son. Be careful.
Thank you for your outstanding service, gentlemen.
My goodness, what brave and noble men are out there on our behalf. Thank you, Mrs. Heald. It was so nice to meet you.
And now I have more excitement for you, ladies and gentlemen. I have just been advised that we have a special guest who is visiting the Bay Area, and when asked if she might like to be on our radio show, she said yes. Please stand. Everybody stand and welcome our First Lady, Mrs. Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Thank you all for inviting me to Sausalito. I am so impressed with all the U.S. people from so many walks of life working and doing their part for the war effort. For it's important that while we focus on defeating the enemy, we have to think about our daily business activities and do it very, very well. Because sometimes we can't actually go and do the fighting. So you cannot escape anxiety and you cannot escape fear because it clutches at our hearts and we worry. But I believe once that certainty is clear of what we have to do, that as free and unconquerable kinds of people that we are, we will do it. So Franklin and I thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your commitment and your dedication. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Roosevelt. Thank you so much. Well, that will be it for tonight. Thank you for sharing your evening with us. And now, here are the Chevronettes.
Yes, sit down, everybody.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on and listen to the music in the air.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Turn the lights down low.
Turn the lights down low
and listen to your local radio.
KSWC.
KSWC. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on and listen to the music in the air.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Turn the lights down low.
Turn the lights down low.
And listen to the local radio. KSWC.
KSWC.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Thanks for listening tonight, and we hope you enjoyed this special broadcast over Radio Sausalito in commemoration of the 75th anniversary of Marinship. Our modern-day radio play was directed by Roberta Malloy and written by Diane Barker, Laurie Flynn, Barbara Nelson, Roberta Malloy, and Dana Whitson. Audio engineer and special thanks to Joe DeBellis. There were so many actors and volunteers involved in tonight's presentation that we can't possibly thank everyone on the air, so we've posted the names of the entire cast and crew, along with pictures of the evening for you to see at our homepage, radiosausalito.org. Turn Your Radio On has been a production of the Sausalito Women's Club and the Sausalito Historical Society, heard exclusively here on Radio Sausalito. I'm Jonathan Westerling.